Robin Washit.
Blissful ignorance, I think it could be an advantage here.
Robin Washit.
Yeah, I'm a ball guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely huge.
The hot takes.
Wash it. Wash it's good. Wash it.
Yeah, wash it's real good.
Wash it. Wash it's good. Wash it.
Yeah, wash it's real good.
Yep, that's right. Blissful ignorance. That's what I have. I have no memory of anything that has happened prior to Tuesday. And it's a wonderful world we live in. Hello, Robin Washit.
Hey, Robin.
Boy, your memory goes all the way back to Tuesday? I forgot even what I did this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Then we don't have to talk about anything that hasn't happened in the last 24 hours.
Wow. Sad.
Before we get to the basketball, I'm just curious, Robin, what your thoughts were when you heard that Jack White. Wow, that'd be hard.
Oh, cool. We're getting Jack White.
Yeah. Let's go. White stripes.
Tony White.
Yeah. Surprised. I'm sure, like most people, his name, as far as what I had read and heard and listened to, has hardly been mentioned. But you kind of read into what his philosophy is all about and just kind of his makeup as a coach and his history. It does fall in line with the way Matt Rhule seems to be constructing the staff. It's one of those deals where you kind of got to figure out what your opinion on it is and then, you can go from there. But I think fans are probably going to warm up to him a little bit more than maybe just the initial shock of it, just because of the way that, you hear his Syracuse players talk about him and just the aggressiveness, the physicality, the attacking, the football method and all that sort of thing. I think that's all stuff that Nebraska fans want and need to hear at this point. So we'll see how it all comes together, once that picture gets for real here in a few months. But I think just looking at his resume and what he brings to the table, there is plenty to like about the hire, even though it might take a little bit of research to figure it out.
Robin, where have you fallen over the last 24 hours on the great debate that surrounds Donovan Raiola and it hasn't been announced officially yet, but remaining on the staff?
Yeah, talk about another surprise there. Of all the coaches you would have thought had a chance to be retained, he wouldn't be on the towards the top of very many lists there, but I guess I can make sense of it in the way that I think continuity is probably the biggest point to that, where you're talking about a group of offensive linemen that this potentially would have been their third offensive line coach in 3 years, and that's hard to deal with, especially with young guys that are, I guess, not young anymore, but guys that are kind of in critical junctures of their career, where like Turner Corcoran and Teddy Prochazka and even a Bryce Benhart to an extent, like this is the point where they need to make that jump and they need to, elevate to the types of players Nebraska thought they were getting when they committed as high profile recruits. So to have the same voice, same message conveyed during this coaching transition, you can see the value in that. And another thing that I'll point to is Matt Rhule is no stranger to offensive line play. He's obviously very focused and prioritizes the trenches. And so I don't know if he just would have made this hire just to, save a few bucks like some people might think. I think he probably sees, a lot of traits that Donovan has in his coaching style and the way he goes about it that thinks that might be a good fit. So I think there's reasons why you can point to why Matt Rhule decided to keep Donovan on staff, but certainly the performance last year, they got a lot of work to do in order to justify that hire as a long-term solution.
Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com joining us. How much of a difference does Sam Griesel make if he plays last night?
It's the game is still in the balance in the final minutes. Then you're going to the final media timeout. Under four, I'll bet you Nebraska's in single digits did not have a chance to win just because Sam Griesel and Derek Walker are far and away the two most critical pieces to Nebraska's success, regardless of the opponent this season. And that's especially true on the road against the top 15 Indiana team that wants to play the exact same style that Nebraska does when it comes to physicality, rebounding, ball control, and all that. So not having your big physical 6'7", 215, senior, veteran, leader, point guard on the floor, that was a big deal. And, you got to credit the players that were out there for keeping a game that started 20-5 from turning into an absolute embarrassment. They kept fighting, got that thing back from single digits down to a few of seven several times, including well into the second half. But they just didn't have the firepower. And you just got to wonder if a healthy Sam Griesel, how much of a difference does that make? And in my opinion, that game is still very much up for grabs going into the home stretch there compared to a 16-point victory for Indiana.
So, Robin, assuming he comes back and he's good to go, at some point, obviously, pretty soon, you think back on Sunday and what they were able to do to Creighton. I wonder how much your view on their ceiling has changed in recent weeks as Walker has returned to the lineup, and then he performed, very well, obviously, against the Blue Jays Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue is such a different animal than really any team they're going to play all season. I think part of that is Zach Edey, just because there's no player in basketball like him. So that in itself is hard, but then you surround him with a bunch of shooters. I mean, Purdue is playing arguably as well as any team in the country, let alone in the Big Ten Conference. So that is a daunting task for Nebraska, especially, coming off a loss like that. They absolutely have to have Sam Griesel if they're going to have any chance at pulling that upset. But, one thing that this group has that hardly any other team Fred Hoiberg, probably any other team Fred Hoiberg has had since he's been here, is it's, early December, and they've got tangible evidence of what they can be when they do what they're supposed to do, to where, last year, Nebraska didn't have that game until the season was over. When they go to Wisconsin and beat Ohio State at the end of the year when the games don't matter for them. Now, there's a whole season to play. And they went and beat their in-state rival for the first time in almost a generation. And, showed kind of had the blueprint of what can happen when everybody buys into this, defensive, rebounding, dirty work philosophy that Fred and this new staff have tried to instill over the course of the offseason. They have it now. They've experienced it. They felt it. And that goes so far in getting that level of buy-in necessary to play that way every single night. And, if they play defensively the way they did against Creighton, they're going to have a chance against most any team on their schedule. Now, again, Purdue presents a lot of unique challenges, so that game is going to be tough no matter how you stretch it. But what changes for me looking down the road is, I think you give Nebraska a whole lot better chance against Minnesota, Northwestern, and Penn State, and even Rutgers, just because they've shown that they can play that kind of muck-it-up style of Big Ten basketball that has really given them problems over the last 3 years because they've adapted to their conference. They have the personnel that's capable of playing that type of basketball. And, again, they have to have Sam Griesel, and they have to have Derek Walker to have a chance. But assuming those two guys are out there and playing at a high level, I think you kind of got to reevaluate how Nebraska stacks up with at least the back end of the Big Ten.
We always hear the phrase, Robin, you live by the three, you die by the three. Flip the phrase for a moment. We saw what happened on Sunday when Creighton shot horribly from three. Indiana last night goes 11 of 25 from three, and it ends up being a 16-point win. Could Nebraska defensively kind of be a team this year that's going to live by how the opponent shoots the three?
Yeah, and a lot of that is just with the way that they have to defend.
Right.
They're not going to be able to go one-on-one against Trace Jackson Davis in the post. They're not going to be able to go one-on-one against Zach Edey in the post. No one. And so those are the types of matchups that, they just because of their personnel limitations they have to adjust to. And, you got to kind of have to pick your poison at times. And, there's going to be games where teams are going to get hot. And guys like, Miller Kopp and Tamar Bate are going to go off and have career nights against you. Well, that's a risk I think you're willing to take. Granted, Trace Jackson Davis got a triple-double, but, you kept him relatively in check as a scorer, held him well below his season average. And so, that's the sacrifice that Nebraska is going to have to make. And, that's pretty common for, teams against opponents that have, All-American level players in the low post. You have to stop the rim first. And so sometimes you just got to hope you're going to get a bad shooting night. And, the Creighton is an example of what happens when, the other team isn't going crazy from three-point range and you're able to dictate the tempo and play a real methodical style of basketball on both ends. Nebraska is going to have a chance, like I said, to compete with most anyone.
All right, Robin, before I let you go, I apologize that we didn't ask the most important question first, and that is this. How do the Giants beat the Eagles this weekend, thus helping the Dallas Cowboys go into Christmas Eve with a chance at the division? Let's make this happen. I'm rooting for the G-Men this weekend.
As desperately as I hope that will happen, I'm going in with about 0% faith that actually transpiring like that. The Eagles are what they are. I get it. But, what I like is that we get a rematch with those pesky Commanders here in a couple weeks. Which is, how about this?
Avenge the
Commanders,
time. Yep.
And then we got to play the Eagles.
Yep.
And then we play the Commanders again.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Commanders get to just prepare for nothing but the Giants for three straight weeks because they have a bye week while we're playing Philadelphia. I mean, thanks, NFL. I'm sure they're just doing everything they can to give Dan Snyder favors. This is the perfect example.
I'm rooting for the G-Men this weekend. Make it happen, Robin. I believe in you.
Look, hey, if we're all pulling the rope the same direction, good things can happen.
There we go.
Well, if you're pulling it, eventually when Dallas gets a hold of the rope, they tie it into a noose and they hang themselves.
Jeez, oh. John! For a second, I thought you were making another tie joke, but jeez, you got a little dark on us. Wow.
Spot the lie. Robin Walsh at HuskerOnline.com. Take care, Robin.
Bye, Robin.
Yeah. We'll see you guys.
And that's Robin Washit joining us as he does usually in the 3 o'clock hour on Thursdays. But today we had to make a couple of switches, so no problem. By the way, before we get to some content.
Yeah.
According to 24/7 Sports, Nebraska transferring linebacker Ernest Hausman has a visit planned with Iowa.
Iowa.
Shut up, Nick. Disgusting.
I just throw that out there.
Look at the dog's even freaking out.
Oh, he's been freaking out all
What's wrong?
Day.
What's
Gino,
wrong?
Gino, chill.
Gino.
He's spazzing out over nothing. He's
Maybe it's a ghost. You
man.
Have a ghost in your house?
Boo.
No, there's no ghost in the house.
Gino begs
It's the ghost of Super Bowl's past. Gino knows the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl and you're going to be all mad. Let's go, Cowboys. Like 2 months from right now, John, when is the Super Bowl? What Super Bowl is it going to be this year? 57? That is crazy. The 12th. Wow. 2 months and 4 days until Dallas reclaims their spot, their rightful spot atop the NFL. Man, that'll be a lovely evening.
Somehow young Jera is going to go through time and screw
time
this
traveling
all up for
Jera.
Them.
Time traveling Jera strikes
Where's
again.
Where is he going this time? Is he going back to this morning to take away Micah Parsons' phone?
Where in the world is...
Hey, Jerry, what Jera. Are you doing here? It's me, Tom Traveler. Give me your phone. You're not tweeting today.
Speaking of the Cowboys, the greatest Cowboy coach of the last generation made the list this week. And also? A famous person said something really dumb.
Wow.
That's coming up in content next on 1620 The Zone.